Lord, our prayer is that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our minds and our hearts to comprehend and to apply what it is you're going to teach us, hopefully, Lord, through this portion of Scripture. Lord, may we be receptive to the insights that you give us, all of us, Lord, myself included. We pray this, Lord, for those who are here in New Life, those who listen and look at another time. And all God's people said, for those who were here last week, I started off part one of All My Life Circle. And as you see from the caption there, I haven't moved one bit. We're still exactly in the very same place where we were last week. But I did promise that we'd come to part two. And for the benefit of those who weren't here, and you missed a brilliant sermon. It was very good. You know, from here on, we've gone downhill. But this was, last week was very brilliant. I'm only messing. So All My Life is a Circle. And we used the song, the lyrics of that song, by a man called Harry Shapin, if I remember correctly. And just to give you a flavor of where we're going with it, all my life, the circle, sunrise and sundown, the moon rolls through the nighttime till daybreak comes around. All my life's the circle, but I can't tell you why. The seasons spin round again, the years keep rolling by. And we were describing, many of us know what it's like to be kind of on a merry-go-round, and you're just going around and around and around, and you can't seem to get off. Or you start a project, and you go with it, and you discover only a significant time later, you're actually back to where you started. And so that's the words of that song kind of describes what it is we're looking at. And you see our businessmen, they're going around in a circle trying to make sense out of life. They're out there making money and providing for families and for everybody else or whoever's responsible for them. And they too are trying to make sense out of this. But behind all of this is really this. There are a few things behind it. And many people, if not most people, are looking for this. People are searching for meaning and purpose and contentment in life. You could put other things in there, maybe significance is another thing, but the meaning, the purpose, and contentment. So all my life's a circle, but I can't tell you why. The seasons spin round again, the years keep rolling by. And what we're saying here is for many people, they arrive at a place and say, actually, I don't even know how I arrive where I am. And there's not much purpose to it. And I thought I would be happy when I got here, or at least content, but that is not the reality. I hope that makes kind of sense to you. That's where we were. And where I'm doing this morning is part two. And what we're doing is we're contrasting two men of God who had tremendous experiences with God and were men known for wisdom. And when they kind of arrived towards the end of their life, they arrived at two very different viewpoints. And the two men that we're looking at is Solomon from the Old Testament and Paul from the New. And we're looking at to see about meaning, purpose, and contentment. So if there's this circle and we're on it, at least to know where we are, why we're on it, or better again, how we can get off of it. And we looked very briefly last week at Ecclesiastes, just a few verses. But let me sum that. Solomon begins Ecclesiastes with his findings. And this is what he sums up life under the sun as: meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless, says the teacher. That's where he begins, and then he defends that kind of what you call his thesis sentence all the way. He spends 12 chapters in it. He said it is utterly meaningless. And before we go any further, I want to say is, don't sit here this morning judging Solomon. You will miss what it is the Lord would want you to see in this, if you're sitting down here judging Solomon, let the judging of Solomon be to God. But Solomon had profound wisdom and he had great insight into this. Ecclesiastes is ultimately about trying to find meaning and purpose and contentment in life. That's what it ultimately is about. And there's 12 chapters in there, and Solomon is saying all the different ways of where he tried. And at the end of his life had come full circle. All my life's a circle. He just keeps going round and round. And so last week, we looked just at a few verses of chapter 1. And this morning, as we look at Solomon, and we will look at Paul again as well, obviously, we're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 4 to 11. The reason why I picked this is, when people try to find meaning and purpose and contentment in life, it starts at a very young age. You want to get your children a good education so they can get a job that pays reasonably money so they can have a happy life. Correct? That's what it's about. And people try in different ways. And people, some people are very strong academically and they do very well. Some people are extremely good at sports. And they end up, well, almost like what we have today, some sports celebrities, and they can make huge money. But everyone is looking for this contentment and this fulfillment and this meaning in life. So the way that the world operates, for the most part, achievement makes something of yourself. And when you arrive there, you will have a certain standard of living, but you will also have contentment. Have you heard that? That's kind of part and parcel of what's taught when you're very young. As you get older then, and you have the few bob, they'll tell you, buy this and you'll be happy. Upgrade to this and you'll be happy. And people who have resources like that do it because they're desperately looking for contentment. But the master of searching is Solomon. Because Solomon had resources that were not available to any of us. And he has done us a great service in telling us some of the stuff that he did. Once you don't sit here again, as I said, and judge Solomon. So he lists some of his accomplishments in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 4 to 11. Now, we could go on and on and on, but these are the main ones. And these are the things that people go after, right? And so, in verse 4, he is describing the stuff that he has tried to find meaning. So he says, I also tried to find meaning by building huge houses for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. This was no idle man. When this man went about building, it was massive palaces and no expense was spared. So he was brilliant at this kind of stuff, and apparently he liked the vine as well. So, you know, and he built vineyards. So he had vast wealth, and so this is part of how he tried to find meaning. Now, we can understand that. You think of all the industries out there today about decorating your home, about changing, you know, the carpets or changing the kitchen or changing the colors and all of that. Solomon understood that, but at a much bigger scale, right? So he was going to be productive. So one of the ways is because there was peace in the kingdom, he built these huge homes for himself and he planted beautiful vineyards. Now that's being productive. Verse 5 says this, I also made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. Now, he's not talking about half an acre out of the house. We're talking here about vast gardens, vast, of every kind of a fruit tree and anything he could do. So he was a designer. He was an architect. He was a builder. And he was a wine connoisseur. And he had all the money that he needed to do these things. So would you consider that productive? You would, wouldn't you? You want to hear what that man has to say. Ask about gardening. He's your man. Ask about wines and grapes. He can tell you. And he's an expert at that. And he's also a man of God. Because that wisdom that he had was God-given. And much of what he had there was the blessing of God. So it's important that we listen to him because of what the things that he was able to do. So that's pretty impressive so far. So he's very productive. He said, I built reservoirs to collect water to irrigate my many flourishing groves. So if he had all these gardens and vineyards and all these fruit trees, he needed water, and water was scarce where he lived. So he had to build reservoirs, and so you could see he was good with that as well. It could be maybe a blessing to Irish water today. But he needed water. So you can see his eye to detail, his strategy. He knew what to do, and he knew how to do it. No, obviously he had people able to do the job for him, but this is what he was doing. Then I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born into my household. So he had incredible amount of, shall we say, what we would call today employees. But slaves, both men and women, and then of course, people, children were born as a result. So in terms of property and people, he had a vast amount of people and resources available to him. Now he's telling us all this for a reason. I also owned large herds and flocks, more than any of the kings who ever lived in Jerusalem before me. So not alone was he productive, we'll say verses 4 to 6, he was also incredibly prosperous in terms of the amount of people that he had access to, and then the amounts of flocks and herds and all of that. Vast. Most people don't get that. He gets it. We move on. Verse 8, I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. Very few people can say that. So he had incredible wealth, because when people came to visit him, you don't come to Solomon as king and come empty-handed. And so he had all of that. And then he hired wonderful singers, an orchestra, a choir, could pay him. And then, of course, the thing that he's known for most of all is that he had an eye for beautiful women. Many beautiful concubines. And then he sums all that up ahead, everything a man could desire. No, remember, the search is after meaning, purpose, and contentment. No, that's the stuff that people tell us will make us happy. Maybe minus the concubines. Isn't it? Wealth, fame, power, progress, productivity. Isn't it? He said, I have it. Actually, I had everything I could desire. So there was nothing that he desired that he didn't have. Move on. So I became greater than all who lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. He never lost a head. That wisdom that was God-given, that he could see through things, remained with him throughout all the process. And then, anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. Now, that is a remarkable statement. Many people say, I would love to do this if I had the time or if I had the money. Do you agree? We hear that all the time. What Solomon is saying here says, anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. Now, that's at a level of looking for pleasure and contentment and meaning beyond what most people are able to have. Would you agree with that? And the next part of the verse, I want to show you this. This is really important. He said, I even found great pleasure in the hard work, a reward for all my labors. He enjoyed the process. He enjoyed being in building the large houses. He enjoyed the process of doing the vineyards, planting the trees, building the water thing. He enjoyed all the interaction he had with kings who came to visit him. He enjoyed the wealth. He enjoyed the music. He enjoyed all of it. And he said, I found great pleasure in hard work. a reward for all my labors. If any man had arrived, it's Solomon. But there's one more verse, because I said verses 4 to what? 11. And then he sums it all up, right? With this verse. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. No, they don't tell you that in school when they want you to do 2 plus 2 plus 2 is 6 or whatever it is. They don't tell you that on the way into the company and saying, if you work hard here, you can make progress and you can go up and you can have a prosperous career and you can have the rewards to go with it. No, he's not saying he didn't find meaning in the work or he didn't find the reward he did. And he had the troubles to go with it. But what he didn't have was contentment. But I looked at everything I'd worked so hard to accomplish, and it was all so meaningless. I have heard people beneath me say, when it's all said and done, it doesn't amount to actually anything. Oh, I achieved a great lot, but it doesn't mean much to me now. Have you heard people saying that? They have enjoyed the journey, but not the final destination. The fun was actually in making the stuff. I talked many years ago to a millionaire, only once ever, and first time I ever met a man who was a millionaire. This is a long time ago, and he made it out of cinemas. And I said to him, are you happy? You know, he said to me, he said, the joy was in making the money, not actually having it. So he agrees with Solomon, there is reward for hard work, and there's that feeling of accomplishment, and I have achieved something. And that was the reward. But when it was all said and done, all my life's a circle, that's Solomon's song. No, I say all this to say this to you. If you were to put a microphone in front of Solomon with all his vast achievements, and they are to be applauded, do you know what you'd find? The highest level of discontentment. How could a man who had so much, who achieved so much, who had been blessed so much, be so discontented that he'd say it is all meaningless? How many of us say, I'd like to prove Solomon wrong? I'd like to get to where he got, and I'd be happy. But the reason why it's in there is that he has been there, he has worn that t-shirt, and he's saying is, the journey was wonderful, and I enjoyed it, but when I got to the final destination, it pretty much let me down. That is Solomon. You know, there's another 10 chapters that he goes on to explore about meaning, purpose, and fulfillment. The world tells us, and the Christian world tells us, no difference. You're happy if you are prosperous and successful. That's what is found. If you have the approval and the appraisal of man, you have the riches to go with it, you have the status, you have all that. How many times have you said this? The girl had so much going for them, and they let it all go away. They threw it all away. And the reason for it is, when they got it, they discovered that it didn't bring contentment. Isn't it remarkable? But that's the thing that is sold all of the time. That is just one glimpse of Solomon's incredible achievements. Now I say all that, I'm not trying to get people not to achieve people. By all means, on you go with your goals and your desires and all that. But all I'm saying is, you got to be careful when you arrive at the destination, because it may not produce what you thought it would in the first place. Our next man we look at is Paul the Apostle, 2,000 years later. He is talking about money and the context of being godly. And the thinking was, if you were godly, you should be automatically rich. But his recipe is different from Solomon's. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. So whatever you're going to do with contentment is not about stuff anyway. But stuff is what it is made, is what we're told, will make us happy. And I don't just mean material stuff. And Paul's saying, actually, godliness with contentment is great gain. How many of us believe that? We know Paul believed it. I ask myself, how many godly people do you actually see who are content when it comes to it? When it comes to it. Now remember, Solomon was a man of God. Here's Paul, a man of God. So we're not comparing, you know, a man of God to another pagan. We're comparing two men of God. Both of them took wrong turnings. We acknowledge that. So we're looking for, all my life is a circle. I'm looking for meaning. I'm looking for purpose. I'm looking for contentment. Solomon says, well, here's what I did, and it didn't bring me contentment. Here's the Apostle Paul saying, well, actually, this thing, this godliness, this is about this devout life with contentment, you can actually gain. Or you'll know when to say enough is enough. That's part of what he's saying. When you look at with godliness and religious people, do they strike you as people who are contented? No. Truthfully, they don't. And maybe when they look at me, they'll say, oh, Solomon, you're a good example yourself. So, whatever truth Paul has in this verse, often it is not a reality for many people in their everyday experience. Or they throw it out. So, what they throw it out. Let me explain this as I go along. So, all my life is a circle. Well, Ecclesiastes, here's Solomon's summary, and then I'll give you Paul's. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. Okay, this is one side. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are never content. I will not ask you if you can agree with that. But some of us, if not most of us, know what that is like at times. We know what discontentment looks like and feel like. And we try and find different ways to fill that void. So we understand. And that's not giving anyone a hard time. This is real. This is relevant. On the other side, we have Paul. Right, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out. And normally what preachers do then is they'll say, ignore Solomon's voice because he didn't follow God and follow Paul and you'll be content. And I said, Paul's advice is extremely good. Solomon's advice is every bit as good. What we do is we take a bit of Solomon's, we'll take some of his wealth, some of his fame, some of his prosperity, and we'll try and make ourselves a bit godly so that we have a bit of both worlds. And hopefully we'll be somewhat happy. And if we're not too happy, at least we won't be too miserable. We kind of walk a midline. Does that make sense? Often that's what happens. But I'm nearly finished. We compare Solomon and Paul's lifestyle. And it's quite remarkable when you do this, right? Because remember, two men of God. So, Solomon, we know, had fame, he had wealth, he had freedom, he had wisdom, he had all the pleasures that money can buy, and he had a luxurious lifestyle. Do you agree? Nobody could do it as big and as prosperous as Solomon. He is the epitome of extravagance, in every sense. If you want to find it, Solomon's road, Solomon is your best example. But he's saying, actually, the journey was wonderful. The destination was a load of rubbish. That's Solomon. Now, Paul, the world says that's the way you go, isn't it? Fame, recognized, wealth, your reward for what you have. All of that brings you freedom. And then, of course, onto that, you have wisdom. And that can give you pleasures that money can buy, and it can enhance or upgrade your lifestyle. Is that right? That's what most people are going for. I'm not saying that negatively, I'm just saying that's the way it goes, Christian and non-Christian. Admittedly, not as flamboyant, as extravagant as Solomon. That's only because they don't have the resources. Paul, on the other hand, had this. Paul was persecuted, he was poor. When he was writing this, he was actually imprisoned. He had wisdom. loads of hardship in Paul's life. And the man was never far away from suffering. Now, they're all the things we want to avoid. Because over here with Paul is a recipe for discontentment. Do you agree? Persecuted, poor, imprisoned, a bit of wisdom, hardship and suffering. We want to avoid all that because all of that is going to bring discontentment. And so what's going to bring contentment over here is fame, wealth, freedom, wisdom, and all the pleasures that money can buy, and a luxurious lifestyle. Two men's experience, Solomon says, it didn't work. Paul had nothing and said, actually, there's a contentment you can have with a godly life. Whatever it was that Paul had, he had it. And it brought contentment. Isn't that remarkable? So, let me ask you a question. There's two up there, right? Mix and match. Fame on one side, persecuted on the other. What are you going to go for? Wealth on one side, poverty on the other. Or not poverty, but very close to it, right? Freedom on one side, freedom to do whatever you want with all the resources, imprisoned on the other. You have wisdom both ways, because both are from God. You have all the pleasures and the conveniences of life on one side, and you have nothing but the hardships of it on the other. If you have to choose between an easygoing or a luxurious lifestyle and suffering, which are you going to go? But that's the contrast. I had never seen it before like that, but that's the contrast. No, the truth is, I want what Paul had without all the stuff that he had to go through. Are you with me? But that is where these two men arrived. No, we have a choice to make. Everything is meaningless, as the teacher, completely meaningless. Discontented Solomon. Or, godliness with contentment is great gain. And we have contented Paul. Nobody is saying that you have to be miserable, poor, and have no money to be contented in following God. That is not what has been said here. It is not. Because God can reward people, people can be very prosperous, very industrious, and they can see great stuff happening. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, we're looking for stuff, we're looking for contentment, and what Solomon's saying is, be careful about where you look. Because there is a reward on as you go along, but the end destination can be discontentment. Paul, on the other hand, saying, actually, there is contentment that you can have with less stuff. The song that we gave a blast of last Sunday, we didn't sing it, but the lovely Louise Morrissey sang it for us. All my life's a circle, and one of the verses that goes like this, he said, it seems like I have been here before, I can remember when, but I have this funny feeling that I'll be back this way once again. And you're saying, always, how does that tie into what I've just said, correct? Let me read it again. It seems like I've been here before, I can remember when, but I have this funny feeling that I'll be back this way once again. You see, life does go around in circles. And every one of us has to deal with this thing. Contentment versus discontentment. So, we have all been there before. We will all be there again. Everyone on this earth wrestles with contentment versus discontentment. All my life's a circle. The verse that the Lord gave me to put all this into place about, the verse came to me about 6 months ago. I didn't know what to do with it. But let me give you this. A godly life brings huge profit to people who are content with what they have. And then the final encouraging exhortation. Yes, come on.